welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're looking at dick today. What's good, everyone? I'm joined, as always, by Miss Shadow Lovely and Slow Beef. Hey, team, what's good?
Hey, what's Hello. Going on, you know?
I forgot we were looking at dick when we left off, but you are correct. We are looking at dick. You're right.
Yeah, yeah. The fellas decided to take a shower, and there was a nasty man outside who just, like, pulled up at the wrong time, I guess. Was just, like, nearby. They don't really explain how he... It was just convenience that he pulled up next to the shower, huh? Because he doesn't have, like, a tracking tag on him.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. I don't know. If by nasty man you mean Blake, that's his name, right? Blake? I'm not misremembering.
Blake, correct.
That's just such a gross guy name, so I guess that makes sense. I had to make sure I didn't, like... Mandela effect that his name was Blake because it's just
Sorry
like the generic shitty guy.
Right, Blake.
Yeah. I'm not. Suck a fat one, Blake's. he was like a weird gay porn like pimp. I don't know. Is that the term for it? Who was like pimping out Xavier to do like gay porn?
He found Xavier in the park on drugs or whatever, and like and unhoused, and took him in, I guess, and like. Trained him up to be a porn star, which, like, I don't know. I think I'm pretty sex positive, but I think if someone, like, wasn't into it, I don't know if that's necessarily an upgrade, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're, like, into being a porn star, clearly that's an upgrade, right? Like, if you want to be in sex work and that awesome, great stuff. But if you don't, which clearly Xavier, like, does not want to be involved in this, I feel like that's maybe not as much of a, like, you can hold it over his head as you maybe think. Because, like, he didn't want to be that. Honestly, it sounds like he might have been, like, chill on the drugs.
Yeah. It sounds like he might have been better off, like, in the park even. Like, in the park on the drugs. But it was the 80s, so it was different, I guess. And, like, Coleman culminated with Xavier like exchange like arranging a trade of like, hey, I don't want to be in your sex thing anymore, so what if I give you a guy with a bigger hog? And Blake's like, okay, let me check that shit out, let me see if you're telling the truth. And then that's
the art of the deal.
Where we
yeah.
get to look at the dick,
right?
Yeah.
Which,
and
like,
then-
does he have like a devil contract that like makes his soul belong to it? Like, Blake just
yeah.
Like, Xavier, just leave. Just like, if he comes to get you, be like, no.
I think
I'm an adult. I'm not gonna do porn.
I think he like blackmailed him though, right? Doesn't he like something like, oh, I'll just tell your family. Or
yeah,
friends.
He's like, yeah. I'll show this tape. Which again, I just don't buy that. Like, the dance studio would probably
also,
see, based on everyone who works there, they would just see it and be like, nice.
Well, also, here's the other thing too, right? Where it's like, in the age of the internet now, that's all right. But back in the day, it's like, hey, you got in like an unmarked VHS tape in the mail. Are you going to play it? Like, no, like, we didn't need the ring to know that that was kind of rough, you know, like, don't do it. So I don't think this works, but whatever.
And his mom is apparently, like, a drunk anyway, so I don't think she would have, cared.
Yeah,
it was, like, really flimsy. Well, the whole thing is, like, the blackmail was very flimsy, but it's okay because this character is about to get turbo-blasted anyway, so it doesn't matter. he has, like, 20 seconds of screen time before he gets... He does, unfortunately, make Xavier call him daddy a few times, which is really shitty and I hate. Not because, like, it's shitty that he did it, though it is. It's because I hated hearing it.
Yeah.
This character exists to like pull Xavier in, be like, you have to call me daddy. And then later on to look through an eye hole in the side of a shower and go, Awooga, that's a big dick. That's a pretty, I guess that's a pretty cool character to have that be. That's like Meep tier.
That is very Blake coded. Like, if I had to put a name to it, that is very Blake coded. That is very Blake behavior.
Fully on your Blake hater arc today.
Like, yeah. I mean, were we even naming people Blake? Like, that guy's like 50. Were we naming people Blake in like the 1930s or whatever? Like, weird, I don't know, it can't be a real name, but it's like
was
porn or whatever.
Was this the oldest Blake ever?
Yeah.
You're the oldest Blake ever. Oh my God. Congrats.
I guess that's what I'm trying to get across is like to anybody who's listening and not watching along, they probably think Blake is like a 28-year-old frat boy. He's not. He's like a 50-year-old man. Like, he's not right, like a kid. Like, he's a 50-year-old man. And I don't know, it's fucking weird, but it's okay because while he's looking at the big hog, Xavier's like, great, it's my time to escape. And literally one frame after Xavier runs off screen, Mr. Jingles, I think, just absolutely fucking blows Blake shit out. Not in like the sexy way, in pole through his head way. And then that was the end of Blake. He was here and now he's not. And then we had Brooke sitting on a dock because Montana tried to kiss her or whatever. And then as she's sitting there, a corpse of unknown origin touches her foot. And from what I can tell, I think it's supposed to be the Dr. Loomis analog, but I don't know because it's so fucking dark that I could not see.
Yeah.
Which means that it was not Richard Ramirez's victim, which means it is fucking baffling that Richard Ramirez appears behind Brooke on the dock at the exact same time as the corpse. And he's like...
Yeah. No, it's baffling on a few levels, too. Just, again, like, why the hell is Richard Ramirez in this show? Like, but anyway, yeah.
They made a serial killer... who just, like, keeps kind of bumbling into shit, like, just by happenstance. And they're like, it's justified because Satan makes him lucky. Like, I guess, like, Satan
like Domino.
Just makes a lot of coincidences. Yeah.
Right.
Cool. Yeah, like the superhero Domino. He is literally like, Satan helped me find you, which is the only explanation the show is going to give, by the way.
And then Satan
gets beat up again.
Right. So Satan, by the way, canonically in AHS, does more for Richard Ramirez than his son, Michael Langdon.
Yeah. But, yeah. Than his son. Yeah. I mean, I guess technically Michael wasn't born yet. So, like, this was his prototype, I guess. This was his, like, first son, ? I don't know. That's probably too cool. Richard Ramirez would have liked that. So I rescind my statement.
I guess also Satan's probably not known
for being a great
dad.
But he does get his shit rocked again.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's also true.
Right.
Yeah, that was his son. This is just like a particularly stinky dog he found. And he's like, I want to see what this stinky dog can get away with. Let's see what we can make him do.
He's got like mange and shit.
Jesus Christ, leave me alone, Richard. Here's where the lady is. Get the fuck out of here now.
Yeah, stop saying my name, Richard. God damn. That all culminates with him being Richard Ramirez chasing after Brooke, who rocks his shit again. He's 2-0, or he's 0-2, I should say, against Brooke. Brooke rocks his shit with an oar, like she did with the frying pan. And he runs into Jonas, which you may be like, who the fuck is Jonas? That's the hiker's real name. The hiker who they hit with their car. And he kills that guy, but that guy respawns, which reveals that he's like, maybe, probably a ghost. And that really tilts Richard Ramirez. And Richard Ramirez is like, fuck this, and kills him again, and then steals his ID badge off of his ghost corpse,
His very tangible ID badge that continues to be tangible for a good period of time.
Yeah, like forever. Like, I've never seen that be a ghost rule in any media of like, yeah, if you steal something off of a ghost, it becomes real in the real world. Because that's like time travel, right? Because that's an item from like 1974 or whatever. So like... that's time travel. You just time traveled an object. That's a whole different can of worms. But it really tilts Richard Ramirez. He's really tilted about the fact that this guy might be a ghost for some reason. And I cannot overstate that that is going to be the plot point that carries the rest of the episode.
Yeah.
Got
so now we're caught up. The rest of it's going to be about Richard Ramirez, unfortunately, for the most part. Like, at least tangentially.
This episode's name was Mr. Jingles. Yes, I just want to remind everyone, because we're about to have 0% Jingles for the next rest of this damn episode.
He shows up for, I think, quite literally, like, 4 seconds at, like, the almost end. And I don't think he says or does anything of meaningful, like... of any meaning whatsoever.
Right.
Not enough to be like, to justify the name of this episode. Because I'm not saying you can't name an episode Mr. Jingles. Like, it's a shitty, dumb name for a character. But, like, if you're going to have a whole, say, for example, a whole episode dedicated to that character's backstory, maybe you should wait for that fucking episode.
I'll say it. You can't name this fucking episode Mr. Jingles. Get the hell out of here, okay? It's not a scary name. Go fuck yourself, American Horror Story. But, you know, that's
Do you think they did it on accident? Do you think this was supposed to be a later episode? Because if I remember correctly, there is an episode later that is, like, a Jingles backstory episode. Like, do you think that was supposed to be this episode or vice versa? I mean, and they were like, oh, shit, we sent the wrong one off.
I wouldn't be shocked, right? Because they just do, like, they'll just do whatever the hell they, like, you know, everything is out of order and, like, quickly rushed. And, like, I really don't remember, but I just mean, like, going off every other season that we've talked about, where it's just, like, the name is something, like, I don't know, like, Double Trouble, and it's just like, yeah, this one's about a nun, I don't know. And then you're, it's like, okay, yeah.
I personally...
All Hallows Eve, part 17. Yeah, great. Exactly. It's the Halloween episode. Yippee.
I'm not gonna spoil it. But I will say at the end of this, I'd like to float past you guys, an idea for an alternative name for this episode, but we do have to get to the end of the episode for me to say it.
Can't name
it
all the episodes dog shit, but yeah, okay.
I wouldn't even name the episodes that would be the season title. It would be American Horror Story dog
fair,
shit.
Fair. Ugh.
So we have to get to the end so that I can pitch my fake name of this episode, or my alternative name. So Brooke does make it back to Montana and tells her, like, hey, Richard Ramirez is fucking here. And she's like, he followed you from LA. And, like, I guess this is the one time I can excuse Montana being, like questioning Brooke, because, like, the alternative answer that Brooke would have to give would be, well, Satan did help him find me, which sounds super incredibly fake.
Right.
And then we, like, cut back to the woods, and Jonas has disappeared again. And it cuts back and forth really rapidly, which is, like, blindsiding.
It's so crazy that they keep, like, doing stuff with Jonas, and I'm like, I don't give a shit about Jonas. Like, Jonas has been nothing but a nuisance since he showed up. Like, he's done nothing but made people be like, oh, shit, that guy got hurt, and then there wasn't a guy who got hurt. This happened, like, four times. Like, he got hit by a car, and they're like, oh, no, the guy got hurt. And then they take him in, and they're like, oh, I guess he was fine. And then later on, he gets nailed to a fucking wall, and then they're just immediately like, oh, no, that guy got hurt. Nah, I guess he didn't really. And then here he got murdered by Richard Ramirez, and then it fucking cuts back, and they're like, oh, I guess he's fine. Like, I don't care about Jonas!
It's like, are you guys getting it yet? Do you guys understand that he's probably a ghost? Like, we're not confirming it yet, but do you get it? Do you understand?
Don't you like ghosts, you know?
Doesn't, like, everybody
like a ghost of getting beat up? No, I don't care about the ghost of getting beat up, which is apparently what Jonas is.
he kind of is. Like, I don't know if either of you have ever seen the anime ReZero, but he's kind of like the main character of that, where, like, his only purpose for the whole first season is just like, well, guess this guy who can keep reincarnating has to keep dying in fucked up ways so that other people can have some plot. That's him, basically. That's Jonas's character, is like, I have to keep dying so that other characters can have motivation, question mark. Yeah, so that's Jonas's deal.
Richard Ramirez can get annoyed.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Is really what it is.
I'm going to be a nuisance to Richard Ramirez.
I cannot overstate, and we'll get to it, and you guys will understand what we're talking about, like, when we get there, but, like, Richard Ramirez is genuinely fucking tilted about the fact this guy might be a ghost. Like, and it's not clear why. Like, he's, like, really mad about it. He's, like, straight up corncobbing it. Like, he's really upset. Whatever. The two ladies hear Ray calling for help, and it's because, well, I don't even know that he's calling for help. I think he's just, like, screaming. And that's because the guys, I guess, walked around to the back of the showers for fucking whatever reason, and saw Blake's body. I genuinely don't know why they would have walked back there, and it does not explain why they do.
Yeah, because he's, like, literally nailed to the back wall, to be clear. It's like a post is fully driven through him, like, sticking into the shower. And we were led to believe they just didn't hear this because there was, like, a radio going, I think, during it.
Yeah.
So they kind of blew their chance at having the fellas discover this naturally, So I guess one of them just like accidentally clipped out back or something. Yeah. And just like was in the back and was like, oh shit, there's a guy here.
Oh no. And they assumed that like he was just killed. And I'm like, for all you know, he was there when you got in the showers. He's in the back of the building. So like he could have been there before you guys even got there. But Ray is like losing his fucking mind. And I mean, like, which is fair, I guess. And Chet's like, does anybody know who this guy is? And then Ray's like, he's the dead guy with a hole in his head. And I'm like, technically, he doesn't have a hole in his head. He has a pole in his head. That's different. There will be a hole when we take the pole out.
The hole is full.
Yeah. Yeah. There is not currently a hole. There is just a metal pole through his head. When we take the pole out, then there will be a hole in his head.
Well, wait, though, is the pole have a hole in it? Because
I don't know.
It doesn't. No, never mind.
Yeah, I think it's just
this
like
is
rebar.
This is the time where my character interjects and goes, this is not the time you're being ridiculous.
Ultimately, the takeaway is maybe we shouldn't have gaslit Brooke about there being a serial killer at the camp.
Yeah. Really, the takeaway is maybe we should trust women.
Yeah. That's what it is. And not like gaslight them that, oh, you're just being dramatic because you fought another serial killer 24 hours ago or whatever.
Oh, women listen to one true crime podcast and immediately Richard Ramirez is being led to them by Satan. Yeah, whatever.
True. God. They have Trevor, the guy with the huge hog, who's like not part of the friend group, poke Blake with a stick, and Ray encourages this, which is going to be confusing in a few minutes when they start complaining about contaminating the body and evidence and whatnot, because nobody questions it when he does this. And then Chet, who is very stupid, says that they should check his pulse, and then Ray, who is also very stupid, does check his pulse and reports back that he's dead. Maybe it's just me, I don't think, because like what are you gonna do, you know?
Right.
Say he does have a pulse. What now? He's got a pole through his head. So like what's the next step of that plan if he's got a heartbeat? You know what I mean? Like you're not gonna take that pole out of his head, or at least you probably shouldn't.
I was gonna say yeah, like saw off the pole, put him in a cart, and be like, Jonas, do you know how to do this?
Jonas, you're a ghost. You've died. How do we fix this? Oh, my God.
If not, how do we make him the most comfortable ghost we can make him?
Do you have like a pamphlet you can give him, like in Beetlejuice, you know? Oh, that's not out yet. All right, sorry. But, you know.
Literally at that exact moment, Blake's body falls backwards, and Trevor, like, notices the hole in the wall. Not the one that was made by whatever stabbed Blake, like the peeping hole that was like for peeping in the shower, I guess. And he's like, oh, I bet this dude was looking at my massive hog. And it's like, is that really the time? Like, is this, do you think he was killed because of that? Like, what is the takeaway from here? And then Brooke shows up.
Like, also, like, you're right this time, but yeah, we don't get to see all the times he says that and he's wrong, where he sees a dead guy and says, I bet he saw my dick.
Because he does talk about his dick. He talks about his dick a lot, so it's probably a lot.
But, like, you know, it sucks for him. He'll never know it now, right? Because it's like, maybe you'll look at my hog and they'll be like, no, that's stupid. But if only he knew, you know, it's a shame. The one time.
It's like a reverse.
Not only was he
wolf.
Looking at his hog, he was like celebrating his hog. Yeah. He was like getting ready to throw a festival for his hog.
He was super, super into it. Probably the most celebrated his hog's been, which is like apparently like a big deal.
Man, what could have been for this guy's pride? But
true.
Oh, well.
Yeah. So Brooke shows up again, and it's time to gaslight her, because she shows up and sees the dead body, and she starts panicking because she sees a dead body. And Trevor's like, oh, great, here she goes. And I'm like,
oh, I bet, oh, bet she just God. Listened to a true crime podcast and got herself all wound up.
I'm like, you literally have a dead body in front of you. What the fuck are you talking about?
You had a pole rammed through the head, like not like questionable whether or not, you know, like he didn't accidentally like slip and fall a pole through his head nailed to the wall.
Oh my God. And
oh my God.
This is I think the scene where I realized, okay, so this can't be the body in the lake. Happened the scene before this, so it can't be Blake's body, which is the like, I guess the one, I don't know. I don't know who killed who. I think the implication is that, like, one of the killers killed one of them and one killed the other. They just don't do any kind of like effort to show who killed which. And that will be important because unfortunately they are both active serial killers in the same area.
Yeah. I think currently all of the like real kills that have stuck have been purely Mr. Jingles. And I think Richard Ramirez has been just racking up L's, which is why he's so desperate by the end of this episode.
that's fair. I've been there. Yeah. So then Xavier shows back up because remember he ran away and he decided to come back for some reason. And he sees that Blake's dead and he's like, oh, somebody's got to help him or call an ambulance. And Trevor's like, don't touch the body or they're going to think we're involved. And I'm like, you poked it with a stick like 2 minutes ago. And then they had what's his name? Check his pulse. So like we're a little bit past that at this point. And then Xavier's like, why would anybody think I'm involved? I've never met this guy before. And I'm like, I didn't know this guy shirt sure is getting me asked yeah. a lot of questions by my I didn't know this guy shirt.
Yeah. The only way it could have been worse is just if he was like, whoa, what happened to Blake, who I've never met before?
Yeah. Like, that's the guy who has checks notes gay porn falling out of his pockets. Why does he have so much gay porn in his pockets? This is vanilla. Weird.
Oh, no. Oh, wow. I'm in it. I start believing in gay porn.
Oh, there's like sorted. This is the blackmail gay porn. What the? What? I don't know. But
oh, my God. And Brooke's like, this is the guy with the spike in his head. That's who this guy is. And Montana is like, you're right, Brooke. And I'm like, finally, someone admits that Brooke is right. And Brooke's like, Richard Ramirez definitely did this because he just attacked me. We have to go find Margaret. And then they do, I guess. And then Trevor says, I don't think this was the Night Stalker because Blake's ear is missing, which means it has to be Jingles. And then they hear keys. And it's almost like Brooke said literally 2 hours ago in universe that also Mr. Jingles is here. And nobody believed her. Really, Brooke is just turning up to be right about everything so far. Now
name
it
one
is...
thing.
Yeah, no, I'm yeah. not sold on this Brooke being right thing. I'm gonna be honest with you, Liz. I think she's wrong.
True. Okay, I need everybody who's listening to take a seat. If you're not sitting, if you're at the gym or something, sit down on the treadmill. I don't care. We're about to have a sequence of two characters talking to each other, and it's going to be the most unhinged shit any person's ever put on film. And it aired on live TV. Okay. Well, remember Margaret? Well, we're at her cabin where she lives at the camp? Question mark?
Yeah.
I guess the big boss cabin, the big rat who makes all the rules cabin.
Yeah, the head honcho's cabin.
Yeah. She was turning off, she was currently turning off all the electricity for the whole camp, as you do, I guess. And she comes back, and when she does, Richard Ramirez is waiting for her with sunglasses on in the pitch dark like a fucking jackass, because he's Richard Ramirez, I guess. And she's like, who are you? And he's like, I'm a servant of the Lord's son. And I'm like, I'm gonna kill myself. This is the worst thing I've ever seen. And then she responds with something equally as cringy, and she's like, oh, so you're a Christian? And I'm like, you know what? That's a crazy response, but it was a crazy statement, so I can't really fault you for it. And then Ramirez is like, no, the other son, the one he
cast wait, hold
out.
Up. Hold up. Wait. Yeah. No, that's not that. No, yeah, I no. don't think Satan was the son of God. I don't think that's part of I think he was just like he was an angel that got a little full of himself. Yeah, that was the whole that was like the whole thing. Not his second son, not where he was like, Jesus, I've had you and you're perfect and cool as shit. You,
and also me.
Harold, get out of here.
Yeah. Like, I don't know exactly. I can't, like, point to a direct source or anything, but, like, growing up in a very, very, very religious household, like, I vaguely am aware of, like, certain interpretations where, like, at best, Lucifer/Satan was, like, quote unquote, like one of God's favorites. Like he was like one of his like little buddies. Angel. Yeah. Mm. He was like one of his little fellas. And then one day he's like, hey, God, how come we, the angels, can't do cool shit like you? And God was like, fuck you. And then sent him to gay baby jail in the middle of the earth or whatever. But yeah, him being like God's son, like his first son, I guess, is like not accepted Satan lore, I think, in any kind of religious circumstance.
I like how you've decided it's the first son. Like Satan did something so fucked up and wrong that God was like, get out of here.
Well,
you.
I assume so. Like, it would have to be, right? Because like he cast Satan into hell, like at the Garden of Eden for like at that before the Garden of Eden, like before he made Earth, and like Jesus didn't come to be until like what fucking whatever 2,000 years, 3,000 years after Adam and Eve allegedly. Like, so he has to be like he has to be the first pancake. Satan has to be the first pancake, is what I'm saying. Is if this is the lore we are accepting about
but
Satan.
So. Like, the whole thing about, and maybe we can't get into this, the whole thing about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit is, like, they're, like, the same, right?
Right.
Like, that's the idea. So if he had another son, it would
not
follow.
Not him, though.
Right.
Okay. Like, all right. Cool. As long as we're on the same page that we do have to put, like, the Holy Trinity, comma, not you.
Right.
Which is really funny. Because that's, like, an additional fuck you, right? Because, like, imagine that, like, you're the firstborn child, and not only do you get kicked out of the house, but also the next kid that comes along, like, your parent is like, I love this kid so fucking much, I'm going to say he's actually me.
Same person.
Yeah, he's actually me.
And then, like, you know, he's like, well, at least he died. And then they're like, all right, Satan, I got good news and I got bad news. Like, you know, he did die, but...
You're not going to believe this shit.
He's risen. We got to hunt eggs now, okay? Like, that's important.
Yeah. Also, in however many years, we're going to do an apocalypse, and then your little brother is going to beat the fuck out of you for 7 years or something. I've written that in my book, so that is what's going to happen. He Alan Waked that shit into existence. that fucking interaction happens, and then she's like, okay, cool. So what do you like want? And he's like, he takes his fucking glasses off and then like just holds up Jonas's name tag as though that fucking means anything to anybody. And she's like, wow, I recognize that. You want to sit down so we can talk about it? And then she like lights 50,000 candles in her cabin. And I'm like, damn, it's almost like you wouldn't have to do this if you just checks notes.
Didn't turn the power off
for some reason, like for literally no reason. And she's like, oh, you got fucked up by something. I guess he got fucked up by Brooke, because I don't know what else he would have gotten fucked up by unless he just beefed it like on the way over here. And she's like, I'll get you a first aid kit. And then they sit down and she starts like tending to his hand or his face. I don't fucking remember. And there's like a very, very awkward sexual tension, which is so weird. And she asks his name and he just straight up tells her, because he's a fucking idiot, I guess. And then the music gets weird and like pleasant, like happy, as though this is a good scene that we should be cheering on, where there is strange sexual tension between the real serial killer, Richard Ramirez,
hey,
and Margaret.
We're all gonna get laid! Like, that's what this is!
Like, oh, Richard Ramirez is gonna find a lady. Like, they're literally setting it up. Like, this scene is literally like, oh, wouldn't it be, like, something if, like, the Satanist guy and the really religious lady ended up as a pairing? And it's I'm like, you can't ship somebody with Richard Ramirez!
I know, it's like, we can redeem this character. Like, no, it's not a character for you to redeem. Like, that's not right. Don't do it.
Oh, and I'm not gonna say what it is, but I do know a plot point way later in the season, and it's gonna make this part even fucking stupider and worse.
Yeah, because I know it too. It's the one thing you never forget about this season, baby.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, so we'll just soldier through this, because I promise you, if you think it's bad, it's gonna get worse.
Oh, worse.
It's not even as bad as it's about to get. So he's like, yeah, I fucking killed this guy that I got this ID off of. I killed him super dead, but he didn't die. What the fuck is up with that? As though this random woman he just fucking met, like, has an answer to that question. Like, as if it's not crazy enough to have this dude, like, waiting for you in your cabin. He, like, just holds up a random item and is like, I think I fucking got this from a ghost. And, like, she just takes it wholesale. Like, if that wasn't Margaret, if it was any other person, they'd be like, oh, we gotta call the cops. This guy is fucking crazy. He's really crazy.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, so is that the first time you've killed someone? And he's like, yeah, and I had to fucking kill this guy twice. And he's like, why did I have to kill this guy two times? As if she would, like, have an answer. And she's like, probably Jesus. It was, like, probably a Jesus thing. That's usually how we explain supernatural shit. Like, is probably Jesus, I guess. Like,
Jesus is the answer, literally. Like, if you're not even sure about the question or anything, just go with that, you know.
Which is a really, like, unironically, like, I cannot think they did this in, like, good faith to have, like, a level of irony or, like, self-awareness. But that is such an American Horror Story answer. Like, because they've already done it with the Satan thing. They were like, how did Richard Ramirez find Brooke? And he's like, Satan. So, like, I don't want to give them credit that they were, like, aware enough to be like, oh, okay, it's like, a bit. We're aware how stupid it is to just be like, yeah, it was probably Satan. That's what fills all the plot holes, is that Satan did it. Like, the same thing applies to Jesus. Like, oh, Jesus did it. I don't think they did that on purpose. I think they're just bad at writing, and they just keep doing this. And then she's like, it's time to lore dump. And she's like, I watched Jonas die back in 1970. And Ramirez is like, that doesn't make no sense. And I'm like, you killed that guy twice? Like, and this is the thing you take issue with? Is that she watched him die 14 years ago?
Like, also, Satan is your GPS. Like, how are you not buying into this shit, right? Like,
yeah,
come
why
on.
Are you asking Satan? Don't you think Satan might have some more information about the ghost situation than some random lady you don't know who happened to be in the proximity? Like don't you think you should ask him?
The Dark Lord will help me find this one random lady, but come on, back from the dead? Get out of here, lady.
It's not like there's, like, a documented, like, person that's really famous who happens to be the greatest op of my homeboy Satan, who is noted for checks notes coming back from the dead or anything. Never heard of it. Ugh. And then
being passed a note by my ops and it says he is risen and I'm mauling.
Do not print in the newspapers that I was owed, please. So this is also going to be bad and worse, but it's also not the worst part somehow. Margaret is then like, aw, I sense that you're tilted about this. So what's the worst thing that ever happened to you, bud? And he gets, like, weird and sad and, like, pouty, and she, like, touches his face, like, all soft and affectionately. And he's like, well, this is my life story, and my life is full of pain. And then we get fucking Richard Ramirez lore. It's Wikipedia, but also it's, like, wrong. Like, it's right, but it's wrong. They're like, here's, like, a lot of the stuff we know happened to Richard Ramirez as a kid, but, like, we're gonna act like it all happened in one day, which would be fucking bonkers. He's like, my mom worked in a boot factory when she was pregnant, so I got all the bad fumes as a fetus. And I'm like, insane thing to tell people. I don't even think that's, like, how, like, the documentarians who, like, know that about him, like, learned it. I don't think he told them. It's just, like, an insane thing.
My mom recreationally huffed mercury. You know how it is.
Right.
Like, I think the widely accepted, like, real story is that, like, all of his siblings had birth defects because of that, but, like, he was fine. So I'm not sure that that's, like, even, like, part of why he's quote-unquote fucked up. And then he's like, and then a swing hit me in the head, and I started having seizures, which is also true, allegedly. And then they show his cousin Mike, who was also real, and a Green Beret showing him pictures of war crimes right after the seizures, which is not, real. That was like, there was like 12 years in between those things. And then Cousin Mike, like same day, shoots his wife in the head in front of Richard Ramirez. And I'm like, well, yeah, if all of those things happened on the same day, if his mom huffed like fumes and then gave birth and then he got hit in the head with a swing and then he had a seizure and then his uncle showed him like basically snuff films and then his uncle shot his aunt in the head in front of him on his birthday.
Zero like, birthday? Oh like, my yeah. God. That's guess, so sad.
I guess I would believe that that probably caused him to be the way that he is because that's like a lot. That's like a lot of things to happen in one day.
If that actually did happen, though, I almost feel compelled as a writer to have Margaret sit there like, that actually happened, and then Ramirez turn to the camera and go, yes, that actually happened, okay? Like, don't yes. blame
and
me.
And then Brett Favre grabbed me, because I was very tiny, because I had just been born, and he kicked me through uprights at a big football game, and everyone cheered and clapped, and I flew through the field goal.
He scored
big
a field goal
look.
With
Who
me.
Cares?
Then yeah. I was played near. Anyway, so...
And that's why I fucking hate ghosts.
That's right. I'm mad that I can't kill a ghost because Brett Favre kicked me for a bit. Brett Favre isn't even a kicker. That's the worst part. He's a quarterback. He's not supposed to be kicking, but he said, fuck it, I'm going to do it for this kid. And he punted me through the uprights.
Was Brett Favre even alive in 1970?
Well, I mean, look what we're doing to the Ramirez lore. It's probably fine.
Yeah, it's probably okay. As if we need to, like... keep the Ramirez lore pristine. Nobody wants to be misremembering like, Richard Ramirez's lore.
For all we fucking know, Brett Favre's gonna be the third killer this season that's like helping out Mr. Jiggles. And
John Cena cameo.
Look, this show has a vested interest in trying to make Richard Ramirez lore like either more empathetic or like cooler, and I'm saying fuck that, enough of revealing the truth. I'm here to spread lies that make him less cool.
Me when I spread misinformation. Yeah, me when I spread misinformation on the internet.
I'm on purpose. I'm getting into it. It's a new year, new me. It's time to lie.
Oh my god. So that we get a whole sequence of that takes like 5 minutes. Oh, because by the way, he's not just like saying this. It's like they do flashbacks. So we have to watch the flashbacks of all of those things happening. Different sets, different actors, like they spent money on this. And now we've reached the worst part of the scene, maybe the best part, but I would like to argue that it's the worst part. And then Margaret, after all of hearing all of this, is like, well, all that happened to you because God wanted you to meet me. And he's like, I came here for another girl, but I like you better. And then there's a brief beat where he takes a pause. And then he asks to see her feet.
Yeah. With about that level of, like, pomp and circumstance, for what it's worth. Like, right. The way Liz just delivered that very flatly, as though it was not a big deal, is kind of how it is also presented in the show. As just, like, she's like, wow, well, I guess he came all the way to see her. It's like, oh, you know, I was actually trying to murder someone else, but, can I see them piggies?
And I just want everyone to know, like, I've had to do a lot of really risky Google searches for this podcast over the however many years we've been doing
Richard Ramirez foot fetish.
I had to Google, did Richard Ramirez have a foot fetish? Question mark. And there was literally no information indicating that that was true, which means that American Horror Story fucking made it up, which is an insane fucking thing. Because in case you're wondering, oh, is that relevant to what happens next? Absolutely the fuck not, it's not. Yeah. Absolutely the fuck not, it's not.
I'll say it. Credit where credit's due. They're innovators in the field. I never before this would have thought even... I wouldn't have even conceived of like, let's write fan fiction about a real human being who did terrible things, comma, let's give them a foot fetish. Like, that never would have been like in the same universe as my brain. And here it is. And I think that's beautiful. They found a new cool way to lie about someone. That's awesome.
They went off to all this trouble of like, quote unquote, like telling Richard Ramirez's story. And then at the very end of it, they're like, and he likes feet. And he's into feet.
Yeah.
Here you go. Also, he's into feet. So now that we've
here's
gotten
all of the here's the tragedy that befell Richard Ramirez. Here's a list of documents proving he was going to try to move to Florida so he could, and I quote, do anything to his car.
Real. So now that we've gotten past this part, I would like to now float my alternative title for this episode, which is instead of episode 2, Mr. Jingles, episode 2, May I See Those Feet?
oh, I was going to say Footloose, but ooh, I don't
Footloose
know.
Footloose is good, too. Wow. Copyrighted,
that's,
probably.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
It is very strong, but they're not going to pay for the rights to name an episode that, probably. They'd have to, like, do something fucked up to it by, like, calling it, like, Foot Space Loose, which is, like, bad or, mouth and eye feel.
Richard Ramirez presents.
Yeah, there we go. But then that's a spoiler, so then they wouldn't be able to name it that, because it gives away the plot twist, yeah. Question mark, at the end, that Richard Ramirez is a foot fetish.
Honestly, if the title of this episode was Richard Ramirez Presents Footloose, I would be blown away.
Yeah.
That would have been, like, the best Joker's trick imaginable.
Yeah,
oh,
that's,
man.
Like, one of those, like, I have to hand it to them. You know, they were glazing a serial killer, but that was worth it. You know?
Yeah, the payoff is great. Because, like, the thing is, in case you're wondering if they're playing it for a joke, they're fucking not, because they're about to try and redeem this character. So, like, they're like, also he has a foot fetish, time to redeem him and make him a part of the cast, question mark? So now we have to carry not only the knowledge
that... Was that supposed to be... His, like, he's misunderstood pivot is just, like, he was in defeat. That's all it was. Like, he would have...
I feel like there's a hint of that with the whole, like, my mom did chemicals, so therefore it's not my fault, kind of. You know, that's, like, how I'm reading that, but...
Is the implication that if enough fucked up stuff happens to you in a sequence, that you will not only become a serial killer, but you will also develop a foot fetish? Because, like, why would you deliver that information one after another? It has to be. That has to be the takeaway. Is like, you can only develop a foot fetish if your uncle shows you snuff films and then kills his wife, I guess. That's the only way gets a foot fetish.
Could they just, like, not have him just be like, you want to fuck? Like, he couldn't just, like, say that? Like, because that would be, like, totally, like, it would be fucked up for Margaret to go along with it. But, like, also, it still, I think, would be, like, more natural and understandable of a through line other than... Show me them tootsies.
Which, to be fair, to be so, so fair to Margaret. Margaret very politely ignores that. Like, very politely ignores the foot question and is, like, not going to answer that one and just moves on, which is, like, honestly, best move possible.
It's just character development, so to speak, for Richard Ramirez then, right? Where it's just like, by the way, he's in defeat and nothing. I mean, we said it, but I'm just saying the show is even just moving past it themselves. Like, incredible.
Yeah, so now not only do we have to deal with, like, him becoming a part of the cast team, but also we have to carry the knowledge that, meanwhile, while all this is going on, he's thinking about toes, which is, like, not something I want to be thinking about a character. Not because I'm judging. To be clear, I'm not judging you if you're in defeat. I am judging Richard Ramirez, though. And I don't want to be thinking that about Richard Ramirez, you know what? The real man.
This is what sucks, too. There is going to be a point in my life, like maybe 10 years from now, and I don't know where, I'm going to be in a conversation with someone, and Richard Ramirez will somehow come up, and I'll have that knowledge in my head and have to resist the urge to say, you know, he wasn't in defeat, like some people think. And
then, just, like, in just in case you were wondering, just in case you were curious.
Like, why do you know that? And I won't remember this. I'm like, shit, I don't know. God, help me. But, you know.
he wasn't in defeat. People keep saying that, but it's not true, and I wish they would stop.
Oh, my God. Oh, gotta protect Richard
the
Ramirez's
honor. The only way
honor.
To make yourself come off worse than the serial killer people are talking about.
Right, yeah. It's bad enough that they can, like, know something about a random serial killer. But then, by the way, just so you know, the rumors.
That specifically? Holy shit, yeah. Immediately banned from the Barnes & Noble, for sure.
You cannot come to Trivia Night again. You are excommunicado.
Even worse, just like, did you know Richard Ramirez is in defeat? Like, oh, that's not true. You know, like oh.
I'm actually somebody. Oh my god. Well, like I said, to her credit, Margaret's just like, well, not gonna give that an answer. Not gonna entertain that question. And is like, okay, anyway, not gonna answer the feet thing. Did you know that God is super cool because you can just like use him as like a scapegoat for like everything? You can explain everything, even the bad stuff. And he's like, whoa, that's just like Satan. And she's like, yeah, buddy, it is. Which again, to add to like,
I know authors who use subtext and they're cowards.
Yeah.
I prefer authors that use super text where two characters barrel the camera and go, Satan and God is just the same. Hell yeah.
Yeah. And like in a really weird roundabout way, be like, what if there was a good serial killer, but it parentheses wasn't Dexter? What if we wanted to do Dexter, but like we picked a real guy who did real evil stuff instead of a fictional guy we made up? What if we picked a real one? And again, going back to like them having a weird sexual tension, I can't overstate that like she's like a 40-year-old woman and he's, I guess, like supposed to be like 20 maybe, which makes this all really, as if it's not already the weirdest fucking thing in the entire world, extra weird, because she's talking to him like, yeah, buddy, yeah, little fella, you're right, you are like a little Satan guy, you're so true, buddy. And she's like, all you need to do whatever you want are just two things, God and trauma. And I'm like, what does that mean? And then she like seduces him, kind of. I'm like, I think we're past that. I think he's like, if you only really have to seduce someone, like if you're not sure they're going to be into it, like he asked for the feet already. So like you don't have to keep doing the seduction thing. Like you got it. He already is asking for the feet. So like, you got it. You're good. You don't got to keep doing it. Unless you want to, which maybe she does, according to the show. Fucking awful. And then she's like, all right, I'm going to seduce you so that you'll be my little personal serial killer guy who will hunt down the other serial killer guy who I hate. So it's going to be Street Fighter Serial Killer Guy Edition.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like Terminator, right? But like you're like, I'll send back a serial killer in order to like protect myself from the serial killer. Except one of them's real, for fuck's sake. But you know, yeah.
And then the other one's Mr. Jingles. They could have at least they could have ripped off like a real, like not a real guy, but like a real, like if they were going to commit to like ripping off like Jason Voorhees this much or like Michael Myers, they should have just made like another masked guy and been like, this is Michael Myers and he's going to fight Richard Ramirez.
Yeah.
But
he's like a force of nature and it'd be a little more understandable of being like, we got to get somebody really fucked up to deal with this guy, as opposed to like Mr. Jingles, who by all accounts is still just a large man, and that is it.
The thing is that, like, with Freddy and Jason, at least, like, conceivably, I give a shit about Freddy and or Jason, right? Like, I don't care if Richard Ramirez is going to win a fight against a fictional character I've heard of one episode ago. Like, what, are you crazy?
It's like they were trying to do, like, are you aware of that show that, like, ran on, like, Spike TV for a really long time called, like, The Greatest Warrior or something, where they're like, what if the samurai fought an army?
I've played the Xbox Live arcade game of Deadliest Warriors, thank you.
It's like they wanted to do that with serial killers, but they're like, oh, people are going to be mad if we do two serial killers for our antagonists this season, like, two real people, so, like, one of them can be real so we can kind of do it. And then the other one's like a fake one we made up.
But here's what's crazy too. Like, they did this. They had all the serial killers, the real ones, come together for like a little dinner and talk, you know? So it's like, now it's just like, well, we don't want to be too disrespectful, but let's have them fight like some bullshit, a big guy, you know?
Fake Jason Voorhees, yeah.
Right,
let's make him fight a big fella. What if Jason we paired it? Who would win? Richard Ramirez or a tall guy?
Right. At least Jason Voorhees is, like, immortal or whatever. Like, this is just, like, some schmuck who's like, yeah, I'm, like, you know, 6'3". You know, it's
yeah.
Like,
and I have PTSD, maybe?
Right,
from going to war or something? I don't know.
Right.
And I like keys. A guy who likes keys.
Keys and ears. That's my thing. Mr. Jacob, nice to meet you.
It's just, like, I think if like Mr. Jingles was in Punch Out, I think he would be first circuit. Like, I think Lil Mac would be taking him out very early, you know? Like,
Bear Hugger could probably take Mr. Jingles.
I was gonna say, I was literally thinking before Bear Hugger. Yeah. Like, he doesn't clear Bear Hugger for sure. You know, right. Like, absolutely. You same. We're in the same place, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my God. So we got through that. It's not over yet, but like, we got through that. It's unfortunately just the start of the Richard Ramirez is a good guy ? Arc. But we at least get to escape from being in these two's presence, because now we're back with the Scooby-Doo gang, and they are all getting in their car to escape Mr. Jingles, but if it's a horror show / movie, so it does not start. And then Chet blurts out from the backseat, "I can't die with a guilty conscience. I did do those steroids." And then Montana, like, because Montana is the funniest character, just like screams, "We fucking know," which is like pretty funny.
Yeah, it is, honestly. If I wasn't so exasperated for Mr. Jingles, or excuse me, Richard Ramirez, I would be like, "That's a good one. All right, I have to give it to you."
If I hadn't just had to listen to Richard Ramirez ask to see some lady's feet, then I would think this was way funnier in the moment.
Yeah, this is more like, "Nah, it's too late, American Horror Story. I'm sorry. Get the fuck out of here.
You can't get me back on board. You can't
just shut the fuck up."
It's incredible that they have like multiple serial killers in this, and the thing that I was like, I feel like I shouldn't have been in the room for that, was like that. like all the killing, nailing a guy to a wall, filling him up with knives and sticking him to a door. Yeah, whatever, I can watch. Peeping a big hog, fuck it, I'll peep a big hog. But this was like uncomfortable.
Yeah. I was like, Margaret, I don't know if I'm supposed to be uncomfortable because you're like sexually taking advantage of like a young mentally ill man, or I'm not sure if I'm supposed to be uncomfortable because this is Richard fucking Ramirez, the real serial killer, being seduced by an older woman. I don't know which one I'm supposed to be like upset about, but I'm frankly upset about both of them simultaneously. Somehow Xavier does get the van to start. It's his van. He does get it to start. And as they're driving away, fucking Rita, the nurse, jumps out of who fucking knows where in front of their van.
Ta-da!
Yeah. Remember how, like, last time we saw her, she was being approached by Mr. Jingles, like, 5 feet away. They're going to do the thing that they love to do, like they did in Coven with the Minotaur situation, where they're just like, yeah, Rita handled it. It's don't ask how she got away or like what happened. She did. They're not going to talk about it. Don't worry. Like, she did get away. I know that's probably a scene you would have really liked to have seen, because Rita's kind of a cool character. You probably would like to see how she outsmarted, outran, or like fought off Mr. Jingles in some capacity. But we're not going to show that to you. She's in front of the car now. And she's like, yeah, I just fucking got away from Mr. Jingles. We gotta fucking go. And then the car does not work again for whatever reason. Because they crashed into Margaret's car not hit Rita. Yeah. And so now they have to get the keys for Trevor's motorcycle and also Rita's car. It seems like this is probably just go get Rita's car keys and then all get in Rita's car situation. I think they say something to the effect of that they want to do Trevor's bike because it's faster to go get help, and then the other ones are going to, like, get in the car. And I'm like, this is just a guy. Just stay together and then beat him up. Like,
right, yeah.
Just beat him up.
There's, what, like, six or seven of them at this point?
Yeah.
I think so. There's, like, seven or eight, I think. There's definitely way more of them.
And they do, like, athletic stuff. Like, they're, like, a jazzercise group. One of them was going to the Olympics and got kicked out for taking steroids.
Yeah. And they're all on cocaine.
He was going to perform.
They're all on cocaine.
Yeah, honestly, if I'm putting down Kalshi odds, I'm taking the group of teens every time. That's, like... You'd be stupid not to. A bunch of coked up, roided up, jazzercised up kids coming together versus one larger than a regular man with PTSD. Like, yeah, I know what I'm putting my money on.
Has Chet revealed he's on Pommel Horse yet, by the way? Or is that...
No.
Okay, sorry. I'm sorry to have blown that big surprise, everyone, but, you know, all right. But.
At Olympic. Yeah. So that happens, TM. And they decide they need to split up into two groups, one to get the motorcycle keys and one to get Rita's keys. We're done with that for a while. Now it's time to go back to fucking Jonas. It's Jonas lore time. Somehow, Margaret has wandered into the woods and found Jonas. He's, like, in a completely random place that we've never seen before. And she somehow, and in case you're curious, it's, like, not the, like, widely agreed upon spot that he respawns. So she just gets wildly lucky, and he happens to be exactly where she first checks. And she's like, whoa, I know you. And then he eventually is like, oh, wait, I think I know you too. And she's like, what's the last thing you remember? And he's like, I feel so guilty because I saw you and I saw you about to get blown the fuck up by Mr. Jingles, but I was too scared. So I ran away. And then I got blown the fuck up by Mr. Jingles in his truck as I was running to go get help. That's important to me specifically. Jonas did not die. Like Mr. Jingles didn't fucking kill him like he killed the rest of the people. Like, for whatever reason, Jonas was outside and, like, saw it happening, so he got away. And then I guess while he was still killing people, Mr. Jingles hopped in his car, his truck, and then went to go blow this kid's shit out with his truck and then went back to the camp, I guess. But that's not the part that I think is important. The part that's important is that he hits this kid with his truck and blows his shit the fuck up so hard that he becomes a ghost on the spot. And then he gets his ear cut off after his shit's been blown the fuck out. So, like, can you alter a ghost after they're dead? Because he was definitely dead when his ear got cut off, and his ghost is missing an ear. So, like, can you alter a ghost after they're dead? Is that, like, so could I, like, dye a ghost's hair? Is that, like, what we're accepting as the ghost rules in American Horror Story this season? Is that you can physically alter a ghost forever, but not kill them. You can't kill them, but you can physically alter them or harm them in a way. So I could, in theory, if I was the most fucked up person in the world, I could cut off Jonas's legs and they would just always be like that forever for the rest of eternity.
I feel like this season the ghost rules are explicitly, yeah, why the fuck not? You know what I mean? It's just sort of like, yeah, okay, you can do that. Sure.
They're whatever we need them to be. They're literally whatever we need the ghost rules to be at this current point in time. Ugh. Yeah. So anyway, that bothers me that his ghost is missing his ear. Anyway, she's like, Oh, did you see Mr. Jingles? He's like, no, but I heard his keys. Am I a ghost? And she says, who am I, Dan Aykroyd?
Yeah, I guess. Crazy thing to say.
And I'm like, Ghostbusters would have literally, I checked, Ghostbusters would have at the maximum, based on the timeline of these events, have been in the theaters for a month. Like, people weren't quoting it or, like, referencing it like that. People haven't even really seen it yet. It just hit the theaters. So, like, people aren't, like, quoting Ghostbusters at this point. But they wanted to make a, like, this is 1984 reference, but, like, in a way that doesn't make any sense. Like, this character wouldn't have probably seen the movie. I'm not saying she didn't. I'm just saying it seems very unlikely that she would have made this reference.
You know, and maybe this is me, like, I don't know, but, like, I also feel like the sort of fundy Christian kind of character would probably be against seeing Ghostbusters, right?
Yeah.
Like, even if we're just doing that
therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, that's not, but whatever.
A lot of possession.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this isn't in the Bible. Fuck you, Dan Aykroyd, you know? But.
Yeah, fuck you, Dan Aykroyd.
Regrettably.
Why are you getting a ghost blowjob, Dan Aykroyd? Why is that in the movie? Sorry, go ahead. Sorry.
Regrettably for us who have either, like, lived in households that feel this way or have had to deal with, like, being in neighborhoods of people who did feel that way of, like, that's not in the Bible, so that's no good. Margaret says, yeah, ghosts are in the Bible. This is all Gucci to me. Yeah, this all works. Yeah, I trust you. Yeah, it's fine. There's a Holy Ghost in the Bible, so, yeah, that all adds up, Jonas. Which is, like, okay, I guess. And then says, you're only here because the counselors picked you up off the road and brought you to camp? Which, yeah, so you can just, like, move where a ghost spawns, but only if they don't know you're doing it? Like, how does this work?
Yeah, and ghosts aren't aware that they're ghosts, I guess, unless someone tells them, because he's like, am I a ghost? And she's like, yep, ghosts are in the Bible, so they're real. That's all we're going to investigate about that. And then he starts crying. And he's like, well, what am I supposed to do? I'm a ghost. And we cut back to the first group of people, Brooke, Ray, Chet, and Rita, getting to the infirmary to get Rita's keys. And Brooke tells Rita to go in first so she can find the keys. But everybody is a pussy except for Brooke, the girl who nobody believed until now. So she has to go in first. And then they get to Rita's desk and the keys aren't there. And then it cuts to a shot of Mr. Jingles outside smirking and jingling as he walks away, which is the fucking funniest shit I've ever seen in my life.
It's so funny. It's so funny that the creators of this show did not trust the audience enough to assume that Johnny Keys was the person who took the keys. Yeah. Like, oh no, my keys are missing. Like, I think most people would assume it was Johnny Keys who has done it. Or as you put here in the notes, Liz, where was that at? Keys McGeorge.
Keys McGeorge makes off with another pair of keys. Because they have him walk away so pleased with himself. Like, he's that meme of, like, the oddly key-shaped shape in the guy's throat, all out of keys. Like, like they have him walk away like his cheeks are full of keys. Like, he's been putting all the keys in his mouth, and, like, he's like, hee-hee-hee, I have all the keys.
Imagine if it cut to him and he was, like, chewing and swallowing.
Oh, my God. It was just I don't think they meant for it to be funny, but it was just really, really funny that they were like, where are the keys? And then it cuts to fucking Keys McGeorge, like, jingle, jingle, jingle.
It's really got, like, it's really got some, like, Sneakers O'Toole-ass pacing of just, like, oh, no, there goes Jangle McKeys. We'll never catch him. Not without those keys. Like,
not without our keys. We can't catch him without our keys. Oh, my fucking God. So, and then group two, which is Xavier, Trevor, and Montana, are at a cabin looking for the motorcycle keys, and Xavier's having a full-blown panic attack because he's like, oh, fuck, I brought everybody to the camp, and then the guy who died here was also my fault because he was here because of me, and, like, yeah, that's valid. Like, that's a valid panic attack to be happening, but, like, get your shit together, Xavier. This is not the time. Like, I understand your concerns, but, like, it's not the time for this. And then group one is still looking for the keys that Keys McGeorge has stolen. And Chet's like, it's okay, Brooke. Like, I'll keep you safe or whatever. And she's like, stay away from me. Anyone who gets close to me gets hurt. And I'm like, the only, like, thing you could be referencing is your fiance doing a homicide-suicide on your wedding day. And that's not, like... that's not your fault.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
That's, like, not your fault.
Also, like, the only other people that got hurt who were close to her are Richard Ramirez twice. Once with a pan and once with an oar.
Technically, she's right. He did get hurt. He was, like, fucking him up. Maybe she's going to fuck Chet up. Maybe she just, like, pulls out an oar and starts beating the shit out of Chet. Oh my God. And then Richard Ramirez, who is now on Chex Notes Team Margaret ? Is going to the infirmary to Chex Notes hunt Mr. Jingles because he promised Margaret he wouldn't do any other murders. It's important that you, the audience, know he's not allowed to kill anybody else, only Mr. Jingles, and he's willing to do that because there's a possibility, maybe, that he might get to see some feet. So he starts banging on the door, and then it cuts back to the other group, and Xavier's still having a meltdown, and then someone starts banging on that door at the exact same time, which means these two, though they are apparently sworn enemies as serial killers, have incredible timing, just great timing, that both of them start doing this for dramatic effect at the exact same moment. And then that's where the episode ends, is both doors for both groups being banged on, presumably by each of the two serial killers that we are now going to have to watch for the rest of the season. Yay!
The end.
Can I see those feet?
You know, it makes me even madder that they didn't use the title Footloose, Because the next episode's title is Slash Dance, which is a play on Flash Dance.
Oh, geez.
So, like, that clearly was on the table. They called it, Foot Lose. Like, he's going to cut them feet off, I guess.
Feet Loose.
Feet Loose. Oh, no. Oh, man.
What an episode.
Seriously.
Yeah, it's like the most whoever wins, we lose thing. Like, I kind of want Richard Ramirez to die, but I also do want Mr. Jingles to die. I kind of want, like, a third better serial killer to show up.
Careful
it's
what you wish
like
for.
When, when Akira Toriyama, rest in peace, was making, like, the first couple of, like, villains for a new Dragon Ball arc, and it was, like, an old man and a weird clown, and the CEOs were like, what are you doing? And he's like, okay, okay. So he's like, what if it was a pair of hot teen robots? And they're like, no, we don't think so. And he's like, fine, here's Cell. He's a bug, and he sucks people off. And they were like, now we're talking.
Finally.
Yeah, I need someone to come in and suck these kids off. Wait, no, bad warning. I'm dragon.
Print that shit immediately. Get that shit in print.
Oh, man. Well, hey, thank you so much for listening. And yeah, I guess we'll catch you next time for Slash Dance. Holy smokes. Later.
Bye. If you're enjoying this podcast and are interested in supporting us or having access to additional bonus episodes, consider subscribing to our Patreon over at patreon.com/greatandterribleahs. Supporters who pledge $5 or more a month will get access to our monthly Patreon exclusive episode in which we discuss various American Horror Story spinoffs, such as American Horror Stories. Thank you again for listening, and we hope to see you around next week.